Our first reading from the Bible will be our responsive psalm reading, Psalm 29, on page 761. And this week it's only one page. We need not turn the page. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as ruler forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Our second reading comes again from the Hebrew Bible from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. You can follow along, and I hope you will, by turning in your pew Bibles to page 630 there in the front in the Hebrew Bible. 42, 1 through 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says the Lord, thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon and the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson for today comes from Acts. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. It can be found on page 121 of the New Testament in your Bible. Hear these words. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We were witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew, Matthew 3:13 through 17. This is a familiar story and one we've been dancing around for weeks now. During Advent, we come up to the story of John the Baptist and the voice in the wilderness speaking out of the coming of the Messiah. And now we are at the other side of the same event when Jesus is baptized and begins his earthly ministry as an adult. So if we turn to page 3 in your pew Bible, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned at the beginning, over the next 5 Sundays, I'm going to be preaching a series of sermons that were actually written by Reverend Adam Hamilton, who is the senior pastor of the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas. The material comes from his book, Enough, Discovering Joy Through Simplicity and Generosity, the one that's on the cover of your bulletin, the book that I'm holding here. I'm also, as I mentioned, facilitating this course over this same 5-week period. And as always, you're welcome to join us. Or alternatively, several of you have asked me about it. You're welcome to buy the book and follow along and read it at your leisure. But these are mostly Adam Hamilton's words. I'm not claiming them as my own. First, a few various passages from Scripture. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. From Psalm 121. And finally, from 1 Timothy. Command them not to set their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God. If you think about the economic times that we live in, you recognize that this is a remarkable and frightening time for our economy and for our people. The current economic crisis is also a crisis of faith. When we can't trust our financial institutions or the stock market or our banks or our government, we find ourselves afraid. And that fear often leads to either cynicism or panic. This may be the most potent enemy we're facing today. But I want you to think back into our history, to the time that the nation was in the midst of a real depression in 1933. At that time, in his first inaugural address, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt spoke these famous words. Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. In every dark hour of our national life, a leadership of frankness and vigor has met with that understanding and support of the people themselves, which is essential to victory. And I have the web address of the entire speech if you want to read it. It's a pretty amazing thing. But you know, in fact, there are economic reasons for our hope, for our turning away from fear. Because it's not a question of if the economy will come back, but rather when the stock market will recover. Because if you look at past market trends over long periods of time, and you identify those years that there was a significant drop, there always was a significant rise within a few years. And as you well are seeing, we're already rebuilding today. But while we wait for that more imminent rise, the economic reality is that some people may lose their jobs and others may lose their homes. Some may need to sell their cars because they can no longer afford the payments. Some may need our help and support. Others will not feel the effects of the financial crisis at all. But we must not allow ourselves to be controlled by that fear that Roosevelt spoke about, because the scriptures and our faith in God reassure us that we are all going to be all right. But how do we find faith in the midst of this time? At the center of this economic crisis is truly the extension and abuse of credit. Now, that word credit comes from the Latin word credo, which means I believe or I trust. So to extend credit to someone is to believe or trust that he or she will indeed repay you. But as Christians, our credo or trust is in God. We just spoke the Nicene Creed, but the Apostles' Creed, which you're probably very familiar, begins in a similar way. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And that word believe is credo, just like credit. Throughout the Bible, we find words of hope and promise that reminds us that we have no reason to fear, for God is our refuge and strength. From Isaiah 41, these words of Scripture, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. From Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea. From Matthew, these words that Jesus spoke. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. From Philippians, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Words that are familiar if you've been to a funeral recently, from Romans. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that story from Matthew when the disciples were in the boat. They're far from land. A huge storm battered their tiny craft. And there in the darkness, Jesus appeared walking toward them on the water, and they were terrified. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." The current economic crisis is in fact a spiritual issue stemming from at least five of the seven deadly sins: gluttony, greed, sloth, envy, and pride. I was telling the Thursday night group, I knew the next question out of their mouths would be, "What are all the seven deadly sins anyway?" And I couldn't name them, so I had to look them up. Here they are, the seven deadly sins: anger, greed, sloth, which means laziness, pride, lust, envy, and gluttony. But when you think about the economy, people are anxious all around us. But we as Christians are to be beacons of hope and light. The church, the body of Christ, is to be a beacon of light, inviting people to find deliverance, to find redemption and salvation, to find hope and a new way of life. As we go through these weeks, Reverend Hamilton offers us a prayer that becomes a focus for our study on stewardship and for a new life transformed in Christ. And the book study group already knows about this, and I'm going to share something with you. He calls it the contentment prayer. And what he did was to take a little keychain fob, if you will, a little piece of plastic. On one side it says contentment. On the other side it has this prayer. And I have one of these for each one of you. So if you're interested in putting one of these on and thinking about this prayer, remind me at the end and I'll hand you one. But here is the contentment prayer. Lord, help me to be grateful for what I have, to remember that I don't need most of what I want, and that joy is found in simplicity and generosity. Amen. Let me pray that again, and I ask you to focus on these words. Lord, help me to be grateful for what I have, to remember that I don't need most of what I want, and that joy is found in simplicity and generosity. Amen.